Okay, I and Dr. Raj would like to thank you for being here. She helped me with this presentation, and it is my passion to spread the word about electroconvulsive therapy. And I feel that people should have access to this therapy that can literally save people's lives, and that they should have that access regardless of socioeconomic or income or insurance status. Today I will be sharing with you about ECT based on extensive review of literature and from my own personal experience, for as you see, I am a patient of ECT myself. Okay, so I just okay. And the only thing I would like to say is that Texas Christian University funded my trip here. ECT is the most effective treatment for medication-resistant depression, but there remains a large controversy over ECT. Since 20% to 40% of bipolar patients do not respond well to medications, it is at least a hopeful treatment for those people. Meta-analysis has shown ECT to be 4 times more effective than over antidepressants, and it shows superiority of ECT over placebo effects, simulated ECT with 3 different types of antidepressants. The schedule of ECT treatments includes 3 times weekly treatments for several weeks, and then the treatments can be concluded after a total of 6 to 14 treatments, or if the person needs maintenance therapy, then the treatments would be done between every month to every 3 months. I am sure you are aware that depression exerts a huge toll on the individual it strikes, and also on the family members of these individuals. It also exerts a financial toll on our country and the communities, and because of the lost days of work, the ruined careers, and the number of persons who have to go on disability because of it. As you can see, 21 million Americans suffer from depression annually. Without adequate treatment, a bipolar patient from the age of 25 loses 14 years of effective major activity and 9 years of life. Depression is the leading cause of disability, and 25% of bipolar patients under the age of 65 receive disability payments. 35% of bipolar patients will attempt suicide sometime during their course of their illness. The effectiveness of ECT can be seen in both the quality of the treatment and its cost effectiveness. Among 11 randomized clinical trials, the response rate to ECT ranged between 33% and 100%. While simulated ECT response rate ranged from 0 to 45%. Remission results in decreased need for costly medications, increased ability to contribute to the economy, and improved quality of life. The cost of treatment is less than that of rehospitalization. Where I live in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, there are only 6 treatment centers. Not all psychiatrists accept Medicaid, and so it's limited as to persons of low income status who can receive treatment. Outpatient treatments for ECT or for any psychiatric treatment are not covered by Medicaid. And there's many communities in Texas that do not have any treatment centers. The public continues to view ECT as barbaric and ineffective, as displayed in movies, etc. Health professionals have limited knowledge about ECT, and less than 8% of psychiatrists even use ECT. The ECT procedure includes, first of all, total history and physical, then a baseline EKG and lab work, and informed consent. Then anti-seizure medications are held, and IM atropine is administered once you go to the hospital. You start, an IV is started and electrodes are placed both on the head and the chest. The treatment itself involves a baseline EEG and EKG, oxygen saturation, blood pressure, and pulse are monitored. A bite block is inserted once you go in the treatment room, and 100% O2 is administered. You receive IV anesthesia, so the last thing you remember is this burning sensation in your IV. And then paddles are placed either unilaterally or bilaterally on the head, and the current is passed, and a grand mal seizure is induced lasting 30 to 60 seconds. So the next thing you know after the burning of the IV is that you wake up in the recovery area. The miracle of ECT for me. I was diagnosed 12 years ago as having bipolar disorder. And at that time I was hospitalized. I was not hospitalized again until ECT treatments were begun. For the first 8 years of my medical problem, I was effectively treated with antidepressants. And then I started having frequently recurring depression, with the last one lasting 6 months, and I tell you, it was like a hell. It was like being in a deep, dark hole that I had no motivation to get out of. I didn't have any interest in getting up out of bed. I didn't have any energy to take care of myself, to get dressed, brush my teeth, etc. So the toll of bipolar disease has been extensive on my life. I had to take 2 long medical leaves of absence and eventually retire early from a career in nursing education and research. But the miracle has been that once I started ECT treatments, I had 2 or 3 treatments and it felt like a light bulb went on. It just felt like a light bulb went off and that I was the old Pat. And I felt like I felt 20 years prior. So it, for me, it was an absolute miracle. Now, there are certainly side effects of ECT, including headache. And there is a medication called, Ketorolac, I think. Yeah, Ketorolac, and it's an effective medication for that. I had a problem also with muscle aching, and that would last 1 or 2 days, and so they now give me and others Toradol IV before the treatment. But mania is quite easily, for me, the major effect that I have from ECT. I experienced maybe 3 or 4 episodes of mania in the 10 years before I started ECT treatments. And now I have much more frequent episodes of mania, but since they're medically managed very easily with Zyprexa, you get results within 24 or 48 hours, I would much prefer to have that than to have extensive periods of depression. Memory loss is another significant side effect of ECT. For myself, it's been a rather minor side effect. I can't remember sometimes, like if I've been to a restaurant or something. And Aricept is a medication that is used for the memory loss. So what needs to be done to increase access to ECT? For one, we need to seek higher reimbursement for psychiatrists from Medicaid and insurance providers. Psychiatrists are grossly underpaid by Medicaid in general. We need to make changes in medical and nursing school education so that health professionals are even acquainted with ECT. that they are instructed in the classroom, that they receive some clinical, at least observation of ECT. That patients and psychiatrists must speak out about the success of ECT. So that's what I'm doing today, is speaking out. And then media must depict ECT accurately. And it also must depict bipolar disorder accurately. You know, bipolar disorder in the media is really depicted as horrible manic episodes with a psychotic nature. And that's really not the picture of bipolar disorder. In the 6 DFW treatment areas, 450 people received ECT in 2008. Whereas 95% of the population receiving ECT was white, 63% of the population only in that area is white. Whereas 18% of the population in the Dallas-Fort Worth area is African American, only 3% of the persons receiving ECT were African American. And whereas almost 34% of the population is Hispanic, less than 2% of the population receiving these treatments were Hispanic. ECT brings hope to the 5.7 million adults with bipolar disorder in the United States, and it certainly has brought much hope and a miracle to my life. Thank you.